Brett. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery for fear of the future, controlling people and situations, and seeking acceptance from others. So the video that we saw was made by Ryan and Michaela. Whenever God was handing out talent, they got like double. So the reason that they actually sent us that song, Bring It to the Table. And as we listened to it and went through it, we're like, that represents exactly what CR is all about. That is who we are. We call ourselves, we put it on the back of our shirts. We call ourselves a forever family. And what represents a family better than sitting at the table? And when you listen to the words, it says, come on in and take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. A chair that waits on you. Exactly right. There's a chair waiting on each and every one of us. So today we want to walk you through a little of the path of Celebrate Recovery over the past year. You're going to hear from some amazing people, their stories, and the difference that it's made in their life. And we're going to start it off with Rachel telling you how things got started. So give Rachel a big whoop whoop.
Hi, I'm Rachel. Hi, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. And I'm celebrating recovery from anxiety, fear, self-acceptance, and codependency. And before we start, my forever family is here today. And I get choked up even thinking about it because they are seriously my family. And if you're in Celebrate Recovery, I want you to stand up so we can give you a hand. Thank you guys for being here today. So Celebrate Recovery actually started in the living room of a sister of mine, Sarah Harlow. And she had approached about a Bible study, and so we started it in her home. And the group kept growing. We kept growing. And my sister-in-law, Danielle, actually kind of led us to Celebrate Recovery because we needed a more specific group Bible study. And so I had gone to court and I was testifying for someone, and the judge looked at me and she said, so when this young man gets out of jail, what programs does your church have available? And I didn't have anything to say. And so we were determined. It was like God just kept showing us, you know, in so many things that this needs to happen. And so it's really great now to get up on the stand and say we have step study on Tuesday night. We have Celebrate Recovery on Thursday night. You know, we have sponsors available. We have group leaders available. And so I really feel like it has given us more resources. And, you know, when someone comes in and they get baptized, it's a little more than a pat on the back and a Bible, you know, good luck with your new life. It's everyday support. And I just think that's awesome. And so when we first went to the training of Celebrate Recovery, it was like God just kind of highlighted people to us that we knew had a burden for that ministry. And I don't even know how to explain it. We would just kind of, it would just come to us. We would write it down. And so about a week before we were going, Ty and Tiffany had been coming to church for a while. And, you know, we would talk randomly. But I sat down with Tiffany and we started talking. And I was really excited. If you've ever talked to me about Celebrate Recovery, I can go on about it for like 5 hours. It's probably really annoying to everybody around me. But so I started talking to Tiffany, and she was like, oh, my word, I think I would really love to be a part of this, and do you think I could go? And I said, sure, I think so. I think we can still get you registered. So long story short, they got to go, and they have been such an awesome part of our team, And I do not know what we would have done without Ty and Tiffany. And so they're going to come up, and they're just going to give you a little bit of their experience with Celebrate Recovery.
Most of you know by now that we have a special way we introduce ourselves at Celebrate Recovery. And it goes a little something like, hi, my name's Tiffany. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who's in recovery for, et cetera, et cetera. And everyone says, hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
And last year, before we even started Celebrate Recovery, I was able to say right from the get-go that I had recovered from alcohol, drugs, abusive relationships, pride, shame, guilt. I was able to check all that off. And after attending Celebrate Recovery and the 12 steps, the step studies, I realized there was some other character defects that I had to work on because we're not perfect, right? We all fall short of the glory of God, so there's always going to be something we struggle with. And my main three was anxiety, trust issues, and stress. But after going through the step studies with our group over this past year, I've been able to work on some of those character defects, which we all know Christ is at the center of this program, so obviously he's the one that's guiding me through this. But in the most mysterious ways, God's been chipping away at those issues. For example, with my anxiety, I honestly been given the microphone more times over this past year than I have in my entire life, and I really feel like God's saying, you take this microphone, and I'm going to take your anxiety. And I mean, I still get nervous in front of people, but I feel like he's chipping away at that. And developing close relationships in my small group and the bond that I have with the ladies that are in my group has helped me learn how to trust others and develop that trusting relationship. And the 12 steps I've been utilizing on a daily basis to kind of help me with my stress. So it's helping me cope with my stress. So those are just examples of how Celebrate Recovery's been working on the three main issues that I found that I had. And because through life, you know, I'm just so thankful it's an ongoing ministry because there's always going to be new issues or grief, the loss of a loved one that arises, and it's good to have that support group ahead of time. For you, you know, to be there for you. And then the second thing I wanted to say was last year I stood up here and gave you all my testimony for the first time. And real quick, I'm going to read just a chunk of that testimony. I had said, a few people have asked me if I want to get up here today and spill out my past failures in fear that you all would judge me. My answer is I am absolutely sure. If God is for me, who can be against me? I have 1,000 reasons to stand up here today, but I really only need one. After all, I'm just standing here telling you all the truth, and Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I didn't know when I wrote my testimony Jesus said that. I thought, honestly, that was like a quote from Honest Abe or something. I didn't know Jesus said it. And so, then I read John 8:32, and I realized that was a quote from Jesus. So, what you all don't know is what happened when I got done giving my testimony last year. The truth is that I didn't know if I'd be set free by reading you all my testimony. I didn't know if you all would judge, and I really didn't care because I knew God was for me. And I can sit up here today and testify that last year after I gave my testimony and handed the microphone back to Brett and walked off this stage, I was truly set free from the years of bondage that these issues have kept me from. And I really want you all to experience and feel that freedom, and I'm not saying you all have to get up here and give your testimony unless God's calling you to. But what I am suggesting is that you all give Celebrate Recovery a chance because it's that opportunity right here in Herrick to be open and honest about some of the things we're dealing with and some things you might even not know. Pride and denial can keep us from even admitting what we might be struggling with. So I just encourage everyone here to give it a try. And I'm going to hand this over to my awesome, handsome, funny husband. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Tyron. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I am recovering from alcohol, nicotine, divorce, fear of the failure, and grief. Just want to say, CR has been a blessing to me and my wife. It has helped us to be open and honest with each other. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Chris Cock gave a message that has lifted a burden off of my chest for 32 years I've had. If it wasn't for that message, I would still be having it on my shoulders. But now, through the 12 steps of CR, and have the courage to talk about that issue I've had for 32 years. It's too much to get into today, but I will be giving my testimony soon. So you have to come to CR to hear that. So if it wasn't for CR, I would never consider opening up about this part of my life. So I want everybody to give CR a chance. Come and see what it's about. Because like I said, if it wasn't from a message that I heard a couple weeks ago, I wouldn't be up here. So thank you very much.
Love you guys.
Thank you. You're standing up.
So every Thursday night, we have about an average around 100 people that come, and that includes little ones to older, big people, adults, and a lot of times it looks like, you know, it's Brett and I that do everything, but it's not. It takes so many people to put this together, and they don't ask for anything in return. Nothing. And so we felt it, we had to thank those people today and give them recognition. So if I call your name, would you please stand up? Teresa Wrench. Brenda Brown. Archie Brown. Scott Sims. Lyle and Renee Sims. Jason Blazich, Lisa Blazich, or Lita Blazich, I'm sorry, Brad Sims, Patty Cooper, Melody Anderson, Jordan Gore, Mitzi Holland, Bishop Suey, Sydney Hauser, Aaron Lay, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Danielle, Michelle Tenpenny, Skip and Henrietta Heaton, Brian Allen does our substance abuse group, Ty Sims, Byron Suey, Tyler Krause, Bill Martin, Kevin Tenpenny, Shannon Allen, Angelica Worley, Cindy Klein, Laressa Selby, Jan Lay, Robin Hammond, Tiffany Sims. I think that's all, but what it, oh, is there more? Is that it? That's it. So these men and women are awesome, awesome people, and we can count on them. You know, a phone call, and they make it happen. And they take their small groups seriously. The leaders. I mean, if somebody comes into a small group, if you come, if you're from this church and you come, or if you're from outside of the church, They know your name. They put you on a prayer list. You're prayed for, you're covered in prayer daily. And that is priceless in my book. And we have the most awesome food on Thursday nights, y'all. Like, they don't just throw out, like, fish sticks and, you know, applesauce at us. They throw out, like, good meals. Am I lying? Okay, so this whole ministry is a labor of love. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. And Mitzi Holland, we honored her Thursday night. We gave her the CR Superstar Award. And it is because she, when my dad said, you know, tie somebody up and bring him to church, she comes close to doing that for Celebrate Recovery. Like, it gets a little, ugh. But she's gone into bars. She goes where she needs to go to get people and bring them where they need to be. And so I just imagine when we get to heaven someday, I don't know how it's going to be, but I figure if God says, okay, Mitzi Holland, these people are here because of you, man, it's going to be a line. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ty, that was real, man. That was awesome. That's what happened to us. Like, we started the ministry and, you know, we went over to the CR one day in Indiana and we thought, okay, we're going to get this started. You know, we're going to learn about these groups and we're going to go and we're going to help. We got ministered too. It wasn't that we were doing as much ministering as we were learning. We were learning that real relationships aren't built out of strength. They're built out of weakness. When you open up and you share where you're at and you know that the person on the other side is going to do nothing but try to help you get better, that's when a bond and a relationship starts to build. We found out that being real is the most freeing way that you can possibly be. So this next couple that I'm going to have come up, they found this out. Greg and Cindy Klein found out that relationships are built through this ministry and that purpose in your life is found. So welcome these two awesome people as they come and share.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ.
Hello, Cindy.
I'm in the process of overcoming fear of failure, fear of rejection, perfectionism, and I've got some trust issues. And as you heard in the video, I was really excited whenever the church started advertising for CR. And when I shared my excitement with Greg, he looked at me and he said, "You don't need that. You've got it together most of the people in that church." So I told him that I wanted to share my story and I wanted to be encouraged and encourage others as well. So I prayed about the situation because I just decided that that needed to be a Greg idea and a God idea. A couple hours before our first night of CR, I went outside to tell Greg what I was up to. About 10 minutes later, he comes to the back door and he says, "What time are you leaving? I think I might go." And I said, "What for?" And he said, "Well, I want to support you." And I said, "Support me do what?" He said, "Aren't you going to talk?" And I said, "No, not tonight, but maybe someday." So I looked at Greg and I said, "Greg, if you want to grow, then you need to go." Yeah. And he looked at me like I had three heads. So I said it again. One way Celebrate Recovery has helped me is it's brought me out of isolation. I've suffered a lot of hurt and disappointment throughout life, and people I've trusted have betrayed me. And it seems like after I lost my mom is whenever I started to isolate myself from others. I'd spend time with my family and Greg's family and go to church and work, and that's about it. CR has given me the opportunity to be vulnerable and step out of my comfort zone to cultivate relationship with people I've never met before or people here at church that I just cross paths with and say hello. And as I said in the video, when we get together as a large group, we're like family. And when I'm with the ladies in my small group, we're like sisters. And CR is a place of refuge for me. There's a feeling of belonging and acceptance. And every time I hear that song, Exhale, it reminds me of CR. It says, it's okay not to be okay, because this is a safe place. I can truly say that we don't judge each other by the outside, but we judge each other by the inside, and that's our hearts. And working through the 12 steps and doing the step studies has been an absolute blessing to me. Each lesson offers questions to answer that really challenge me to think deeply. They push me to get to the heart of the root of issues, the heart of the matter, why I fear failure, and why I fear rejection. They also help me to take those steps in order to help me just to get to the root of those character defects and insecurities and overcome them. Participating in CR has also helped me to realize that I've been harboring bitterness, resentments, and unforgiveness towards people that I thought I'd forgiven a long time ago. And the Lord revealed to me that I needed to completely forgive in order to completely heal and be made whole. And working on self-growth is so important to me because I'm so many things to so many people. I am a wife, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a friend, a teacher, a coworker, and so on. And my words and actions have the ability to build people up or tear them down. And what's going on inside of me is eventually going to come out to the surface in my relationship with others, and especially with my husband, because he's my number two. I'm a pretty transparent person. I'm assertive, and sometimes I can be aggressive when I communicate with Greg, especially when he pushes my rejection or my failure button. At times, I don't use good tones when I talk to Greg, and sometimes I talk down to him. And Pastor Jeremy's message on not fighting fair absolutely convicted me and grieved my spirit. I have done every single thing he listed at least once throughout our marriage. I have a prideful spirit, and when it comes to my relationship with Greg, I think I'm always right. I have a hard time admitting I'm wrong and saying I'm sorry. Because of CR and what I've learned working through the 12 steps, I had the courage to sit down with Greg and have a safe, intimate conversation with him in regards to my issues. I was able to break down those walls I put up to protect myself and confess to Greg the areas I've been wrong in our marriage and say that I'm sorry. And in return, Greg felt safe to express to me how my words and actions affect him. This was a huge breakthrough for us. Our marriage is absolutely being transformed. And we have a good marriage, but I can't help but wonder if we would have ever gotten to this point of growth and intimacy if it wasn't for our involvement in Celebrate Recovery. And we'd probably be stuck in that same old rut going around that same old mountain year after year. And showing up to every week to Celebrate Recovery is an accountability in itself. It's a reminder that we're in the middle of the process every day to improve ourselves, and the process never ends because we will always have something to overcome. And I just can't imagine our lives without Celebrate Recovery. I'm so thankful, Brett, for Brett and Rachel's obedience to answer God's call to start this program and lead us.
Tough road to follow. Hello, my name is Greg, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery for codependency, divorce, fear, shame, and guilt. 1 year ago, I came through the doors of Celebrate Recovery. I was reluctant to come, but knew I needed to. As I opened the door, I was greeted with a familiar face saying, "Greg, are you here for security?" I said, "No." "Are you here for sound?" Again, I said, "No," and simply replied, "I am here for me." As I looked at the table in front of me, I saw two sheets of paper. One was men's chemical dependency, and the other was men's issues. I was humbled to realize my life fell into one of these categories. I put my name down on men's issue, took a name tag, placed it on my shirt, and here I am, 1 year later.
All right.
Out of the 12 steps in CR, step one stands out to me, and now my life revolves around it. It says, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and our compulsive behavior, that our lives have become unmanageable. Romans 7:18 says this about step one. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. This does not give me permission to sin, but reminds me that I am a sinner and that I can be used by God for a greater purpose. For years, I have sat on the sidelines being a taker in the house of God, knowing I have been called to do more. CR has allowed me to step up and become a leader, a giver, a helper, as well as accepting help for myself. CR is a safe place to confess my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups to those in my small group as I build a trusting relationship with them. There are no titles in my group, just men coming together as one. CR has allowed me to have a sponsor that I have shared my total life with. I was able to tell him my life story without feeling ashamed, guilty, or dirty. I have accountability partners that hold me in check and really are concerned for me and my life. I have a bond with a band of brothers that this society says should not exist. But only through CR have all walks of life come together for a greater purpose of healing one soul. I am realizing why I do the things I do, and I want to look deeper into my life and not just stay on the surface. My marriage and relationship with Cindy has been strengthened through the knowledge we have gained through CR. I'm finding it easier to talk openly and honestly about all things. Not having to worry about saying the wrong things and being penalized for it and worry about the consequences. Through CR, I have a motto that speaks to me and I've written it down. I look at it from time to time to remind me where I've been and where I'm going. It simply states, naked and unashamed. If I could sum up CR in one word, and I think Brad had said it earlier, that word would be real. Every person that is hurting, which is all of us, wants someone to be real with them. And by being real with one another and confessing to one another our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we realize we are not alone in this fight for our soul. In closing, I will leave this thought. Before Celebrate Recovery, I, like most people, thought programs like this were for those people. Now I have come to an understanding that I am one of those people. I'm truly grateful for my forever family and Celebrate Recovery. Thank you for allowing Cindy and I to share our hearts with you.
That's that change that we all felt. That's that getting ministered to and growing and our relationship with Jesus Christ getting stronger over the time and finding out what's in our heart, all those things that we've been covering up for so many years. It was about this time that the Lord gave me a dream, and we showed that video, and we called it the Call to 24. And in that dream, I had a vision of being in like a construction site, and I was in a competition, and there were other people, and I could tell there was a judge. And I was supposed to be building a foundation. And I didn't know what it was a foundation for, but it was putting together a foundation of wood. And I remember I went in, and I kind of just, you know, I hammered it together, and I put it together, and it wasn't great. And then this judge came in and started getting down and looking at all the corners real meticulously. And I thought to myself, I'm being judged on how well we build this foundation. And I knew that this dream was related to Celebrate Recovery, that there were going to be people coming from the community into Celebrate Recovery that needed restoration and healing. And if we weren't spiritually solid, that it was ultimately going to bring us down. Because in Celebrate Recovery, it says, you know, we're supposed to go to our neighbor and help bring them back onto the right path, but be careful for fear that you don't fall off. And we knew we had to be spiritually strong in how we do it and do that foundation. So as more people started to come in, just as the dream said was going to happen, people started to notice a little bit that there were new faces, that there were new people sitting in the pews, and it ruffled their feathers a little bit that they might not know who they are. And so our next speaker is somebody who noticed that change and said, I'm not letting this get past me. I need to figure out what this is. Peggy Chapman, please come tell us your story.
I'm Peggy. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I suffer from acceptance, fear, trust issues, guilt, shame. And as Brett said, thanks. It was March 2016. Brett and Rachel got up and they gave an overview of Celebrate Recovery. And I heard hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And the only thing I really heard was habits. And I thought, that's not for me. It's for those people. And then June came around, and I started noticing this pew was full of visitors, and then the second pew was visitors, and over there were visitors. And the third row was visitors, and it continued through July. And I thought, I've been here 35 years. I know most of the people that attend this church. And so that really, I thought, I got to go check that out. I got to see what's real, because these people are not coming just one Sunday and then gone. They're staying. They're actually sitting on the pews for 2 and 3 weeks in a row. So I told my sister Patty, I said, come on. I said, let's go to Celebrate Recovery. I need to check this out. So she went with me. And then it was July that we went. And I sat there in that worship and song service. And I tell you, I was so moved. I felt emotional during the service. I had tears streaming down my face. And I wasn't even sure why. But I know that I felt the presence of God, and it was awesome there. And so after the large group, then we break into the small groups. And again, it was chemical dependency. And I thought, that's not me. And then it said, women, other issues. I was like, really? Really? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I could or would relate. After all, I live a good life. I live a blessed life. But it was in small groups that immediately I felt connected with these ladies. And so during the first small group meeting, I realized spiritually I was stagnated. And I made that comment. That's the reason I was there. I didn't realize that I was stagnated and that I had lost my zeal. And I was just going through the motions. Now I lay me down to sleep. God is good. God is great. And then it was a few months later that Pastor Jeremy's message was about your zeal. Remember that? Your zeal for God. And then I knew right then and there that CR was for me. That was my confirmation. And it was through CR that I began to understand the rest of the story, the hurts and the hang-ups, the hurts from childhood, the bullying, the name-calling, feelings of not good enough, rejection, picked last or never chosen, repeatedly talked down to, you're bad, you're stupid, the physical abuse, abandonment, sexual abuse. Statistics say that 4 out of 10 little boys and 6 out of 10 girls are molested before the age of 18. And these hurts carry on into your adulthood. The separation, divorce, the death of a child, the loss of a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a sibling, your best friend. You have that special needs child, how you feel shunned or looked at with pity or disgust, feeling isolation. And then we have offenses. This is the bait of Satan. I learned that from Carolyn Baim, the bait of Satan. And sooner or later in church, you will be offended, as we are real people and not perfect. From these hurts, we develop hang-ups, and that's what I discovered, hang-ups. This is our coping mechanisms. The anger or the outburst, that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, happy, please, nice to you 1 minute, and then stab you in the back. The depression, unforgiveness, trust issues, isolation, negativity, the attention seeker, anybody know them? then you have this low self-esteem on one end, not good enough. You have fear and anxiety, the panic attacks. And then you have manipulating, and then people who are full of oneself are very controlling. You have pride, the I-itis. Know anybody that's got I-itis? I did this, I did that. It's all about me. Those are coping mechanisms. There's a reason for that. So how do you get past the barriers of pride, guilt, worry, and doubt? That's where CR comes in. It's working through the 12 steps and taking one day at a time. Recovery happens one day at a time. If we remain stuck in the yesterday or constantly worrying about tomorrow, we will waste the precious time of the future and the present. We can only change our hurts, hang-ups, and habits in the future. It is in CR that, one, you will restore or develop stronger relationships with others and God. Two, you will find deep peace and lasting freedom in Jesus Christ. It's through CR that I have become more compassionate to others, less judgmental. It's through CR that I have a safe place and a forever family. If you are not involved with CR, I would highly encourage you. If you can honestly say to yourself, I don't have any hurts, I don't have any habits, I don't have any hang-ups, then you are needed, because we need you to be the greeter. We need you to be the encourager for those seeking help. And if you say, I can't talk with people, that's not me, I can't do that, well, then how about helping with a meal or with cleanup or with a child care, loving a child, making him or her feel the love of Jesus through you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Peg. So when we started Celebrate Recovery, we went for the training, and they said you have to offer transportation and child care. Those are musts. So child care. If anybody's ever tried to get people to do the nursery at church, you know a little bit about child care and how much people want to do that. So when we first started Celebrate Recovery, the ratio was like 2 adults to 25, 30 kids. And we're talking from baby to 12 years old. And then we also had another sector, which was like the teenagers. And so, you know, every week, you probably saw me on Facebook, please, will you come do childcare? And most people would come do it 1 week, and they were like, peace out, good luck with next week. And it was very hard to keep it organized just because we had so many different ages. We didn't really have the reliability of knowing who was going to be there to help, you know. And so we went to another Celebrate Recovery training, and they said, we have awesome news. We've created two new programs. And the first program was called Celebration Place. And it is basically Celebrate Recovery, and it's broken down for kids 5 to 12 years old. So they come, and instead of locking them in a little room and throwing snacks at them, we actually, they sit down, and they have an awesome class, and they learn about these issues that we're all dealing with as adults, but maybe if we had started at 6, we wouldn't have gotten ourselves into some of the messes that we find ourselves, right? So it has absolutely been so awesome. And when we first started it, Rachel Flores, actually, she had committed to me that she wanted to help and she would do childcare. And she was so faithful about being here every week. And Lita, she has been here. I cannot tell you about Lita. Like, she is always here. She loves the kids. I mean, she loves them. It is not a job, and it's not I'm going to clock in, you know, to be here. It is absolutely that she loves them. And And that now Annette has kind of taken over with the celebration place, and I'll let them explain that. But it has, I mean, Hudson goes to the celebration place, and the things that he comes home and says to me, like, he'll tell Ella, he'll be like, "You're in denial, Ella. You've got denial all about your issues." And so it's just, so they're learning to deal with those things that I wish that we could have learned to deal with at that age. And I think it's so awesome. So Rachel and Annette are going to come, and they're going to just tell you a little bit about that. And maybe you'll want to get your kids involved.
Hi, I am Rachel. I can't even remember what to say right now. What do I believe? I believe in Jesus. I don't know. I love Jesus. And I'm struggling. I'm in recovery for anger and unforgiveness. So I'm just going to share a little bit about how I got to start with the childcare and how that's affected me. So I am very blessed, first of all, to have a solid Christian foundation and a faith in God and, of course, my church family. And I really, truly came to appreciate that when I went through the most devastating, hurtful, and painful experiences in my life. And I did have to come to that base alone for support. At that time, we didn't have Celebrate Recovery. But it was started relatively soon here at Christ Tabernacle. And I had a thirst to be a part of it. I really wanted to partake of the fruit of that ministry. And I wanted to feel better. And I wanted to do better. Not bad things at all. But being a new ministry, there were a lot of opportunities to serve. I wanted to have the benefits and just soak those up. I was struggling emotionally, and just keeping up with my daily work and family requirements was tough already. Who would have blamed me for saying, "No, that's too much to take on?" But getting involved was exactly what I needed to do. I remembered a message that Pastor Jeremy preached, and he shared that many Christians, like myself, will experience conviction from God or hear a sermon and then further seek God, sometimes our pastors, saying, "I want to have a ministry and serve God. What and where could that be?" Like it's some mystery to unravel. When if there is a need in the church or ministry and you're able to do that, then that's what God has called you to do. Amen. And that has simply stuck with me ever since hearing him preach that sermon. So I thought on that, and God gave me a burden, a strong empathy for those that were hurting like me. My pain was so deep and so real, and it made me so vulnerable. It was affecting my family as well. My husband and my children were all in that hurt place. I thought of other adults that didn't have a faith in God to fall back on, let alone the small children and kids that have less coping ability. And I decided, even though I did not want to help, that I was going to be obedient to God, and I started taking care of the kids for CR from day one. God very quickly sent Lita, praise the Lord, to care for the kids as well, and she has been faithful in that. And God was slowly bringing up leaders in other areas of CR, and that created new opportunities for ministry. The landing was started, as Rachel said, which took the older kids, followed by me starting the celebration place for children 5 to 12. And that is really meeting their critical needs, teaching them how to cope biblically, teaching them the important biblical principles. Before that, it was more us just trying to love them and give them a safe place, which should never be undervalued. And so the celebration place was started while I was still hurting, and it was helping and ministering to me while I was teaching the children. For a while now, Annette Martin has taken over the celebration place, and I've been able to move on, at least for the time being, to work deeper on myself. Matthew 25:40 says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me." Ministering with the kids in the celebration place definitely has been part of my recovery and has blessed me more than I thought it would. I did not understand why I needed to do it, but I was obedient to God, and now I'm seeing the fruits in so many ways. Thank you, Jesus.
So, fun fact. Oh, first of all, my name is Annette. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. at Celebrate Recovery from every form of addiction and a whole slew of other things that you'll find out next time you come to Celebrate Recovery. So, fun fact, 45% of the individuals that attend Thursday night CR are between the ages of 0 and 17. It's a lot. Yeah. They came from homes where someone important to them has made a courageous first step to begin the healing process. Celebration Place focuses on ages 5 to 12. It's a celebration pre-recovery program. It's a place where kids get to learn how to deal with the hurts and pain that life sometimes brings. It's a place where kids get to learn how to create good habits or replace bad ones. It's a place where we give kids an alternative to unhealthy hang-ups. It's a place where a new language is introduced that includes words like denial, sponsor, inventory. It's a place where kids learn how to forgive and heal instead of hurting back. It's a safe place where kids learn how to talk about their own thoughts and feelings, not about other people. How to accept things in life that they can't change. How to have the courage to change the things that they can. And how to have the wisdom to know the difference. And I count it a blessing to be a part of Celebration Place and to watch these children grow. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, guys. Doesn't Annette have that teacher voice where you, like, want to listen? You're like, what's next? She just brings you in. So I never want to think, I feel like when we first started, the kids were kind of the afterthought. You know what I mean? Like, what are we going to do with all these kids? And they are so important. They're just as important as you or me, and their problems are just as important as ours. And I think that Rachel and Annette and Lita, they give the kids that place, and they feel important. And also, I didn't put her name up there, but Vicki Conley is a lady in the community that we actually pay to come in and help with the babies, the small, under five. And she has shown so much love, and, you know, she even kind of brings her own activities for them to do. And it has been such a blessing for me, because it's just, it's important to have enough people that it's a safe environment. So next, Kelly, Suey, and Fritz, which are family of mine, Kelly had expressed to me that in her teaching, she had kids coming to her, and maybe they had, you know, a father in prison, or they had someone dealing with addiction in their life. And I don't think that sometimes we think about how it affects them. And they still have to get up and go to school. They still are expected to get good grades. And, you know, they may be going through the most awful time in their life, but still they're expected just to continue with a smile on their face. And how dare you act up, or how dare you do this? And Kelly had such a burden for these children and our children. My daughter Ella is in it, and Parker and Tucker, they are in the landing. And they love it. They all enjoy it so much. And if you're in the landing, will you stand up so we can see? I think a few of you guys are here today. So thank you, guys. So they come every week, and they basically, they have worship with us. So we have our large group in the beginning, and then we split up into our small groups is kind of how it works if you've never been. So they come to large group, and we have a couple worship songs we do, and they come to worship with us, and then they break off, and they do their own thing. And Kelly and Fritz have taken that on, and Greg and Cindy help them, and I know Michael Worley has come in to help, and Sydney Hauser, and they are so faithful to be here, and like I said, it's a passion, and they put everything into it, and people know when you want to be there, right? Kids included. They know if you're in it to win it, and they are, and so I'm just really thankful for them, and if you're interested, just a little commercial, if this is like something in you says, I want to help, Celebration Place in the Landing can always use extra hands, because one-on-one attention is awesome. And so we can never have too many helpers. So if you are interested, we will take you. So Kelly, come up and tell us a little bit.
Well, first of all, I was about ready to say, Rachel, did you read my notes? Because I think she basically said almost everything I was going to say. But that's okay. My name is Kelly. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I suffer and recovering from depression, anxiety, codependency, and I added another one while I was sitting at the table, unforgiveness. My husband was supposed to be here with me today to help. However, my son woke up in the middle of the night ill, and this morning I was like, hey, Fritz, Mason woke up sick in the middle of the night. Here's my notes. You can go talk at church. And he was like, I don't think so. You get two. So you're stuck with me. So The Landing is a student-based Celebrate Recovery for ages 6th grade through 12th grade. It is a 52-week ongoing program for teenagers who are struggling to live their lives in a healthy, God-honoring way. It is safe. It's a healing place where our students can have a more God-centered life. Growing up, I too had hurts, habits, and hang-ups. However, I did not have a place to learn that it was okay to feel this way. I just thought it was life as a teenager. As some of you don't know, I did not grow up in church. I was aware there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. Instead, I masked my hurts and hang-ups with busyness and pretending everything was okay. I did the best I could. While I was going through some of my teenage hurts, I would often ask, and even to this day, why did I have to go through some of the things I did? But now I know God was preparing me to help the students in the Landing. The Landing, we didn't start the Landing until August 14th, so we're not quite at our one-year anniversary. And at that time, I've promised the students I will give them my full testimony. Still working on it. But during our 7 months, we have had 52 students come through the doors of the Landing. Seventeen of them have hit their first step, and they've got their free T-shirts. 10 of them have been there at least 20 times. So to me, that is awesome. That is something to be proud of. So what does a typical Thursday night look like at the Landing? Well, first of all, the students are always the first ones in line for our awesome food. Typically, when an adult says, okay, guys, let's pray, the kids run to the front of the line, grab their plates, bow their heads. As soon as the adult says, in Jesus' name, amen, they're like, let's eat. That's what, first of all, starts. Then they go eat their food really, really quick, and then they scatter. They go out and play basketball. They go out front and play foursquare. Sometimes you might catch them out front doing a crazy dance move. At least I think that's what it is. And then at 6:30, Fritz and I go out, and we're like, come on in, like ringing the dinner bell. It's time for worship. We come in here and we worship, and after worship, we go to our large group. Recently, we have been cramming, praise God, about 30 students in a classroom upstairs. And now, if any of you have ever been with teenagers, but let alone teenagers who have just played basketball for 30 minutes or have eaten maybe beans for dinner, it's not always the most pleasant atmosphere. So recently, God has blessed us with the Eva Hunt Center, where we can spread out, we can get some space, and now we can grow even more. So start inviting your friends. Please, 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 please. So the Landing, when we get over there, it starts with like kind of a getting-to-know-you activity. We ask crazy questions like, what was the last thing you watched on TV? Or if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? Or sometimes we play a game, and that requires you wearing a shower cap or a baby bib. Or we just kind of break the ice, get to know one another a little better. Then we break into our large group lesson. These lessons are designed to get the students talking and doing. They don't just listen to someone preach. They feel like they get that enough in life. Instead, they talk to one another, and as leaders, we kind of guide them and direct them in the direction the lesson is supposed to go. Fritz and I have been blessed with Greg and Cindy and Sydney. Greg and Cindy and Sydney, I always mess it up, who assist with the lessons in the small groups. And without them, this would not be possible. After the lessons, we break into our small groups. And that is our favorite part, at least for the girls. So I was like, are we doing small groups tonight? Yes. When we started 7 months ago, we barely had enough students to do one boy group and one girl group. Well, as the months have passed, we now have four groups. So that requires four small group leaders. This is, to me, the most precious time of the landing. We bond on a much deeper level. We talk about our hurts. We talk about our habits. We talk about our hang-ups. We cry. We laugh. We truly look at ourselves and examine our own ways. We support. We listen. We share. We learn to trust and to love. I told Fritz he was not going to get out of this too easy, so I made him text me what he was going to say, so I will read that to you. Fritz said, when Kelly wanted to start this, I was hesitant. I didn't want to spend one of my evenings with a bunch of teenagers, but I knew she had a burden for them. For a while, I was just going to help, but then God started dealing with me about loving people in a CR step study. It changed the way I saw people and truly started to care about the kids. The back of our shirt says Forever Family. I know they are your kids, but they're also our kids now. We absolutely love them. We notice when someone is not there. Pastor Jeremy has preached a message about stepping out of the boat, about the time CR was starting. Between doing the landing and a bunch of teenagers and doing step study with a group from Pena, God picked me up and threw me out of the boat. Way out of my comfort zone, but it was so worth it. Every adult in the sanctuary has made mistakes in life. What if you could do something to help prevent these kids from making the same mistakes? The landing is not a free pass class. There will still be hurts, habits, and hang-ups in life, so hopefully we can prepare them to become better with the problems when they come up or know that they have someone to come to when they need help. CR is for everyone. So in conclusion, I have personally grown so much during this experience. These students are strong beyond belief. Some of the things that they're going through are unmanageable, unfair, but the landing gives us all a place to get closer to Jesus. We learn the key principles during the journey towards a better life. We all move from focusing on us to focusing on Him. And we gain courage and strength when we did not know we even existed to live a fuller, freer life through Jesus. So the definition of landing is an instance of coming or bringing something to land. And that's exactly what we do in the landing. We bring our hurts, we bring our habits, we bring our hang-ups, and we land them in the arms of Jesus. John 10:10, Jesus speaks, and he says, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. That's exactly what happens in the landing and in CR. We finally fill our lives with what matters most, and that's Jesus.
Y'all can remain standing if the musicians would come. What you've heard is why I can stand up here when the music starts on Sunday morning and worship with tears coming down my face. Because I was back there about four rows from the end, running. I'd had prophecies over my life. I'd had people tell me that there was a ministry, and I was flat scared. What does that mean for me? What does that mean I'm going to have to do? What am I going to have to give up in my life to do what God's asking me to do? And I ran, and I got uncomfortable. My heart was uncomfortable. And then Rachel finds a passion and a purpose in her life and drags me along with her. Little did I know that this was the ministry that I needed to be involved in to take that hurt and that fear and work through some steps to get past it. But when I hear about lives that have found purpose and meaning, when I hear about relationships that were restored, when I hear about somebody getting their zeal back, I can stand up front. When I hear about my friend Winston, who a year ago wouldn't leave his room, now has his whole family baptized and is a shop foreman. You saw Jim Palmer. Jim Palmer was in our video. 2 years ago, he was homeless with two little kids. Now he's buying his own home. The reason he's not here today is because he sings in the choir at his church. He teaches Sunday school. The love and the restoration that Jesus shows is something I can't get past. When my friend Jesse 2 years ago was in a hospital bed with kidney failure because of an overdose, now he's on the front row hanging on to his little boy. I get to be part of that story. And I can stand up here and thank God for what he's done. Because I was on the other end of the phone call when Tyler's mom called and said, he's high and I'm scared and I don't know what to do. She ended up having to put him in jail. Tyler's one of our leaders. Tyler shows up. Crew hangs on to him like he's the greatest thing that's ever happened. His dad. And that's it. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And Miley, they're here in church. I can stand here and worship God and thank him because I've seen his power. I've seen his love. And I've seen his hope. I want to see more of it. I want it to continue. I don't know what your struggle is, but what I do know is that you have one. Everybody in here has something. I don't know if it's a hurt from the past or a divorce or a loss. It could be something that you've held for 32 years. But I can tell you right now, I've seen it. Jesus Christ can heal it. Sometimes it happens at the altar. Sometimes you get a complete healing, but that doesn't mean all the pieces are put together. And that's what Celebrate Recovery. It's a path of growing in relationship with Jesus Christ. We worry about so many things that are around us and so many other people. And if we'd drop that and we'd worry about him, you'd feel a freedom in your life. So Ryan and Michaela are going to come and they're going to sing that song again. Bring it to the table. I don't know what it is that's in your life that you need to bring to the table, but there's a seat that's waiting on you. As they sing, make a commitment. Step out. Bring that hurt, habit, and hang up that you've got in your life. And bring it to the altar and put it in the arms of Jesus. Let it land there because there's healing waiting for you and there's a future and a purpose in your life. Join us at the altar. Bring it to the table.